Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I know that this morning there are people in this place who don't know who their biological father is. I know that there are people in this place this morning who maybe wished they didn't know who their biological father was. And I'm sorry for both of those camps. It's not the way that it was intended. But our Father in heaven is perfect, and He knows how to be a perfect Father to each of us. Not just He is the perfect Father in heaven, but He also knows how to be a perfect Father to you as an individual. Not just this blanketed statement that He is the perfect Father in heaven, but He knows how to be a perfect Father to you. And He knows how to be a father to the fatherless. Those who didn't know their father, maybe those who know their father for a time, but he wasn't really much of a father other than, you know, biologically he's your father, but wasn't maybe much of a father. Or you lost your father. He's passed away. I know that there's sting and hurt in this room because of what your dad did or didn't do. John Eldredge says this. He says, every man carries a wound, and nearly always that wound came from a father. That lets us men in this room who are fathers and who hope to be one day, maybe the seriousness of being a father. Maybe you've always cried out to be important, or the people listen to what you say, or you are always on the drive to somehow have some notoriety in some way. Well, I want you to know, becoming a father, it's given to you. Because what you say and what you do carries great impact, both on the side of what can be good and what can be hurtful. The text that I'm going to start with this morning is actually, get this, Proverbs 31. How about that? Those of you who are acquainted with Proverbs 31, it talks about these are the characteristics of a woman of character, or a noble woman, and goes through. But if you get to verse 23 in Proverbs 31, it says, her husband is known in the city gates, or is respected there. Now, the city gates, you have to understand, as you look through Proverbs and you look through the history and, you know, what the city gates really mean, if you were to actually go to Proverbs 1, and you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to share with you, round about verse 20 or 21, it talks about a young man that when he goes into the city, he hears two voices, the voice of wisdom and the voice of folly. And it's fighting these, you know, these two voices fighting each other for this young man's life, this young man's soul, how this young man's going to live. And so in Proverbs 31, when it talks about this, pardon me, I've been getting over this chest cold and head cold, so if I cough a little in the mic, I am so sorry. Thank you for being gracious throughout the morning. So that I don't have to say excuse me every time, if that's okay. And so in Proverbs 31, you see it, this husband of this noble woman, part of what she does and who she is and how she treats her husband is what helps get him to the place of respect and the voice of wisdom, not the voice of folly, the voice of right influence at the city gates. So I want you to get the context of that this woman, this wife of this man who is a father, she helps get him there. Now, we know in the beginning that God, created man, and he said it's not good that he's alone. And all the men in here say, okay, that's five men. The rest of you, not good to be alone, so he created woman as a helper. Now, that translation of that word, they came up with helper. And I want you to know that helper really, it's right, it's good, but the word is so much more. Word has to do with being an ally, not just being a helper. Like you're just some servant running around helping, but an ally. And this woman is an ally to this man who is known as a voice of respect because of how she responds to him, how she treats him, how she operates her home, and it gives this man a good name. It lets people know that his house is in order, and much credit goes to her. But it shows that she respects him. And I want to talk to you this morning about how a father, how a husband, how a man interprets love. How he feels loved, okay? And I want to talk about that this morning because we can unlock the men in our life. And I have men in my life. I have a dad still alive. And I've watched him become unlocked by the work of the Lord, but by carrying out some of the principles that I've found as a son in Scripture. And then by being a husband and being a father and having friends, men friends, men friends. Say that, men friends. Men friends. You got to say it in a deep voice like you mean it. Men friends. Men friends, very good. A day will come. Tomorrow morning you're going to be getting out of bed at, 11:30 because school's out. And you're going to go into the bathroom, you look in the mirror and go, men friends. You will catch yourself. A man receives love, and we all want love and, all of that. We want to be loved. I don't care how tough the guy is, he wants to be loved. But men, the way they were created, the way they were fashioned, respect is the big deal for men. Respect is a big deal for men. You can look throughout the Scripture, Old Testament and New, and it is chocked full of, honor your dad, respect your father. You can go to Deuteronomy, you can go to Romans, you can go over to Hebrews, you can, go to Exodus. You can jump all over the Scripture and you will find verses. Proverbs is, of course, full of verses that talk about respecting and honoring your father and your mother. We're not leaving her out, but it's Father's Day. So we're going to talk a little bit about this. Because a father interprets love, a man interprets love. And you young ladies in this room, you might want to pay attention to this morning. I am so human. I'm sorry. if those of you who didn't hear that go by and wonder, what's he talking about? Don't worry about it. It's a beautiful sound. Scripture's chock full of, you know, respect your father, respect your dad. You know, the interesting thing is, respect, we feel to give respect, somebody has to earn it. We've been told that. Respect is earned. And there is a measure of truth to that. The other part is this. We are called to respect, not based upon other people's performance, but I offer respect and give respect because of who I am, not because of who they are or who they aren't. Sure, there's respect that we give because someone has earned it, but there's also a respect as a Christian that we are supposed to give based upon who we're supposed to be. You've run into those people. In your estimation, they're not real worthy of respect, but you offer a measure of respect because of the quality of the person that you are supposed to be. You understand? It's tough to give respect when you feel it is not earned or it is not worthy. It's so easy to give when you feel somebody's earned it. You know, it's why I always go to Ephesians chapter 5 when I talk with couples or married couples, or many times at a wedding, I will read this passage, though the message may come out a little different at a wedding, kind of catered to the couple. But Ephesians chapter 5 talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and gave himself up for her, washing her in the word, presenting her, that she would present herself acceptable. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. He died for her. And then it gets to the wife's part and it says, wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. And at the very end of that passage in Ephesians 5, it says this, the wife must respect her husband. The respect that a wife is supposed to give isn't always based upon the performance of her husband. There's a respect that she's called to offer because it is her husband. She is not always worthy of the love of dying to ourself or dying for her. Her performance isn't always worthy, but that is not what we're called to do. We are called to love and lay down our life like Christ did for the church, for us. So when it comes to a man, respect, he's just wired this way. God created him, and you know what? You can say what you want, and sometimes it is misused. I understand that sin gets involved. But a man is wired and has this respect filter on, that everything that comes at him in relationship has to do with this respect filter. What we do, what we don't do. Listen, I could say, I love you, Dad, and then use his truck and take off and just misuse it. That does not show that I love my dad. He does not hear, I love you. He hears, I respect you or I don't respect you. Listen, don't be my daughter. Bat your eyes at me. Come up and hug me. Speak in a little child voice and say, Daddy, I love you. And then get in the car with some jerk and peel out of our driveway. Don't tell me you love me. Just come up to me and say, Daddy, I have sentiment towards you. But I don't respect what you say or your counsel. I'm leaving now. I'll be back later. Just tell me that. But don't come up here and tell me you love me. And do that. Because when you say love, I don't hear the word love. I mean, I hear the word love, but it's not how I interpret it. It's respect. It's how I'm wired. It's how I'm made. It is how every man in this room is wired. Now, we all have little variations. And because we've gone through life, you know, that could have been damaged. But it's about respect. I remember when my mother came to me, I was 18 or 19 years old. I was kind of that young adult. And I remember when she came to me in tears and upset with me, and she said to me, "You are not respecting your father." I remember to this day, and I'm over 39. I still remember that. There are a lot of things that I have forgotten, but I remember when she came, and I was like, "What are you talking? What do you mean? What are you talking about?" I mean, I wasn't even like a really troubled, crummy child. I was relatively, generally decent. Got my attention. I watched the Lord work in my dad over years, and I became an adult when a lot of this took place. It wasn't always in the home. I would go back and get snapshots when I'd visit, and I would think, this guy's being transformed. But I also started showing respect more and more, and I've watched my father change. Respect is a big deal. It's a big deal for men. It will unlock, it will help. If you show respect to your father, to your husband, it will begin to unlock them. Now, don't just try it one day and they didn't act all changed and transformed. You go, "Well, that didn't work. Forget that. I just showed them respect and now they think they're all it." Listen, what they think about themselves, that's not your responsibility. You're supposed to offer respect. You can say love, and you can portray it in the way that you feel and sense, but I want you to know that he filters this all through a gauging of respect. As I mentioned, that for children, for us to respect our father, the scripture is chocked full. We have to remember, you know, our Heavenly Father says some very interesting things throughout scripture. Things like, "It's not sacrifice that I desire." What is it he desires? Obedience, right? In other words, God says, "Don't come and give me the sacrifice of your lips when your hearts are far from me." In other words, don't try to con me. Don't tell me that you love me. Don't sing that you love me. Obey my word. Jesus says it this way in the New Testament. "If you love me, you will keep my commands." If you love me, you will keep my commands. In other words, if you respect who I am and what I say, you will obey what I say. And I will interpret that then as you respect me or you love me. It's not just about sentiment. Do we respect our Father in heaven? Do I respect him? Or do I come into this place and sing the songs? Do a little in the offering? Kind of be nice to a few people and call it good? Or do I respect him? I love the parable where Jesus says the father has two sons. He asks for something to be done. The one says, "Yes, yes, yes." And the other one says, "No, I ain't doing that." And the one who said yes never did it. And the one who said no, no, had a change of heart, went back and did it. Which one respected his father? The one who did it. Respect is a big deal. Wives, you want your husband to be a good father. You can help him. But being a wife that you should be, it helps him. It is, you are an ally to him. Listen, when we talked about Ephesians 5, a wife must respect her husband. Everything that you say and do and how you treat him and in the home, he hears through respect or disrespect. Children, he hears what you say and what you do all through you respect me or you don't respect me. The words you say, the affections you hold, give. It's all seen through respect. If you look at the fall in Genesis chapter 3, and if you want to turn there, you can. But it's the fall of man. It is where Adam and Eve eat of the forbidden fruit that God told them not to. I want to read you a little segment from a lady named Jan Meyer who wrote a book called The Allure of Hope. I want you to listen to what she wrote about this. Eve is deceived, and rather easily. Eve was convinced that God was withholding something from her. Not even the extravagance of Eden could convince her that God's heart is good. When Eve was deceived, the artistry of being a woman took a fateful dive into the barren places of control and loneliness. Now every daughter of Eve wants to control her surrounding, her relationships, her God. No longer is she vulnerable, now she will be grasping. No longer does she want simply to share in the adventure, now she wants to control it. And as for her beauty, she either hides it in fear and anger, or she uses it to secure her place in the world. In our fear that no one will speak on our behalf or protect us or fight for us, we start to recreate both ourselves and our role in the story. We manipulate our surroundings so we don't feel so defenseless. Fallen Eve either becomes rigid or she becomes clingy. Put simply, Eve is no longer simply inviting. She's hiding in busyness or in demands. When this happens to a woman, a man looks at all of this and he sees it as if he's disrespected. And both parties need healing. Because, men, part of who you are and what you were created to be is a protector and a priest. In the garden, when sin came, we have been born into it and have needed a Savior. I want you to know that if a wife is motivated by fear and it plays out in controlling or something else like this, I want you to know that the man in your life sees it as a disrespect to him. It may not be how you intend it. It may not be your motive. I'm just telling you how a man takes it. And when he takes it this way, he goes to the garage. Sometimes he just goes. Sometimes he just goes passive. That's what Adam did in the garden. He just went passive. You see, when they were there, during that whole temptation process, him and Eve were together. They were elbow to elbow. They were side by side. You can look at the passage. He didn't protect. She was deceived, had a mistrust, and it played out, and now we need a Savior. And these corruptions still can run in us, and we need to be free from it. And in Christ we can be. But if you want to unlock the man in your life, respect is the way that it's done. You show respect and you may be surprised at the tenderness that begins to play out in his life that you have so longed for. He may be in a place where he's maybe quiet by nature a little bit. But I want you to know, some men, they're not quiet by nature. They've just become quiet because they don't sense respect in the home. And you can say, well, they haven't earned it. Your job is to offer it. Their responsibility is to earn it. But you're to offer it. I'm to offer it. It's amazing what can happen when a man feels respected. Depression goes away. Questions about insecurities in their life begin to go away because they have allies. They're respected by their children, by their spouse. You see, the words you say and the words you withhold are all filtered through respect. The affection that you show or you withhold is all interpreted as I am respected or I am disrespected. The way that you present yourself, the way that you care about yourself, is all interpreted by the man in your life as respect or disrespect. Because the reality is, you represent him. We represent the Lord. What should this church look like and how should it conduct itself? He is our Father. Jesus is our groom. We bear his name. There's this wonderful human parallel that has played out that God can begin for us to experience on the human level the spiritual principles of this beautiful spiritual relationship between him and us as a father, as a groom. If Father's Day is an event, you've missed it. It's Father's Day, I'll call my dad. When you haven't talked to him for months, you've missed it. Well, I'll give my dad a Father's Day card. Listen, and I got a Father's Day card. Pardon me. Here's the wonderful thing. I got a Father's Day card from my son. But all the stuff that he wrote in there is the stuff that he tells me all year long. He didn't write anything new. You know what it tells me? It's Father's Day every day. My house. It wasn't like, oh, gee, you know, it's an event. Listen, if the Father's Day card only showed up and what he wrote in there only shows up on Father's Day, it would be like a slap in my face, to be honest with you. Because it's like, what about the other days of the year? This card means nothing to me. But now it means everything to me. Because he wrote and said what he's been telling me and we've been writing each other for years. Except in the card, I noticed this. He didn't abbreviate it. He wasn't lazy. Because we have some letters that we can throw back and forth, and we know what the letters mean. We know the words. So we abbreviate it when we sometimes tell each other. But he actually wrote it out in the card. That was kind of nice. How you do projects. A father, when you do a project, or a husband, when you, as a wife, do something, I'm just going to tell you, though it may have nothing to do with him, he interprets that project and what you did as whether you respect him or not. Because you represent him. That's how a man hears it. Just like when we do things, we're supposed to, everything we put our hand to do, we're supposed to do it as unto the Lord. Why? Because we bear his name and we represent him, even though the thing that we're doing may be for someone else. because we represent him, and do we respect him? You can unlock the man's heart in your life. You grown men in this place who your father's still alive, you can unlock his heart. You can do your part. Holy Spirit's got to do the rest, whether he's a believer or not. Listen, just because he's not a believer does not mean the Holy Spirit is limited to do something in his life. Holy Spirit was working in our hearts and lives long before we were saved. We can help pave the way by the way we treat them, how we represent them, how we talk to them, how we look at them, how we respond to what they say. Listen, I don't do everything now in my life. I don't do everything that my dad says. I don't agree with him on everything that he tells me. Because sometimes he's wrong. But growing up, he was my dad. I was under his authority. I better do what he says. There was a time that I didn't. And you know what? Sure enough, stuff happened. Don't drive anybody else's vehicle. Son, don't ever drive anybody else's vehicle. Son, don't drive anybody else's vehicle. Don't drive anybody else's vehicle. Don't drive anybody else's vehicle. I'm out with a group of guys. Wally Block. One of his kids had a Chevy van. You know Wally Block. Wally and Louise. I hung around with a couple of their boys. There was a group of us. And they're like, I don't want to drive. Randy, you drive. No, I don't want to drive. I ain't got to drive. Randy, you drive. We're always driving. You drive the van. You do that. I drove. Got us all the way from Twin Lakes into Kenosha, turning in to McDonald's that is on Sheridan Road in the south end of town, just about to turn in, and some guy cranks up his car and zips by me and clips the bumper. Guess who's going to find out I drove somebody else's vehicle? My dad! The one time! And you know what? I deserved it! I deserved it. I did not obey my father. And you know what? I can have all the feeling of sentiment. I could say, Dad, I'm sorry. I love you. It didn't mean anything. Son, you didn't respect me. The family can buy us gifts. And it's really nice. And we like it. Thank you for the gift cards. Thank you for the sock, the tie over the years, the ugly ones too. Thank you. But listen, be a responsible person. It's like a gift to me. It means you respected me. You listened to me. That's the gift to me. I mean, I'm thankful for the gift cards, and I'll get something, and it's very nice. And I appreciate it. But you know what? If you will just obey and do well and do the things I've told you, that is the gift because I feel respected. But don't buy me a gift and then go waste your life and do something. That you didn't respect me. I still show respect to my father. Oh, I pick on him and joke about him and all of that. But I also know that I still do things and I hear my father's voice. When I load up a vehicle for a trip, I hear my father's voice. I move furniture, move households, I hear my father's voice. Every time I pop the hood to check the oil on any of my vehicles, I think of my father. Still doing things. So that when I leave his place and I pull out, he can stand there and say, kid's done good. Because you know what you know what he feels? He feels respected. Makes him feel like a man, the man that he's supposed to be. Man who he's become. It's interesting when you look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and these fathers who have wives. It says, wives in the same way, 1 Peter chapter 3, wives in the same way, be submissive to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe in the Lord or believe the word of God, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and the reverence of your life. Part of the purity and the reverence of their life that they are showing to this husband, that his heart would be won over, as the scripture says, is by the way that she treats him, by the respect that she shows him, as she submits to him and respects him. His heart is won over. And there's a change. It brings spiritual life. It's the way that she treats him, not just the way that she does laundry and not just the way that she cooks food. It's the how she responds to him, does things the way that he desires. All of this, it wins his heart over. It helps him be a good husband because she's an ally. It helps him be a good father because she's an ally. When respect is removed from the man or withheld from the man, he will go quiet. He will go quiet. It's interesting to me that women, on a general basis, I wish he would talk more. I wish he would tell me things. I feel like I got to drag it out. This is over years of ministry when I talk with couples and all of, oh, I wish he would talk more. And I, you know, like, come in, how was your day? Good. That's it. Done. That was the conversation. Good. Fine. Regular. It's all right. Anything like that? Nope. What are you going to do now? I don't know. Well, didn't anything go on? Nope. I want him to talk. I want him to share. I want to feel connected. Listen, you can feel all you want, like you want that. But if you show him respect, it will begin to unlock his lips a bit. Because he will begin to feel that what he shares actually matters. But if you're busy and you're controlling everything and you're doing everything, he just feels like, you know what? Not respected. I'm not needed here. I'm done. Just checking out. Respect will draw him in. Respect will draw him in. You remember how you landed him? You cared about how you presented yourself, what you said, what you looked like, what you smelled like, what you know, all that kind of stuff. Why? Because his opinion mattered. And you know what that said to him? You know what he was drawn to? It wasn't just your physical beauty. You want to know what he was drawn to? Your interest in him, your respect for him, all the stuff you did because of him. Right? That's how he interpreted it. That's how he viewed it. It was through respect. That's why Peter writes, listen, you want to win your husband over and have a spiritual transformation that takes place? This is how you live before him. Respect him. Submit to him. And he's going to have a change of heart. Children, I know fathers are not supposed to exasperate their children. But listen, offer him respect. Offer him respect. Everything you do and say, he will interpret through this filter of being respected or disrespected. And I'll tell you this. If he feels disrespected on a general pattern of life, I want you to know he gets to a point where he turns the faucet off to blessing. And he just withdraws. And now the interaction that happens is either very brief, it is fighting, frustration, anger's displayed, harshness, and then it just polarizes everybody. Who wants to offer respect? Are you kidding? Look at this mess we've got. The road to healing on this is you show respect to them. Because that is how a man interprets love. It's through respect. Okay? I want you to remember this morning. It is the way God has designed some things. And on this human level, it gives us insight into this spiritual truth and spiritual relationship. When you do things, you're not just representing yourself. You're representing your Father. Your Father in heaven. The Father you have on this earth. The husband you have on this earth. You represent Him. I've been it because of men friends. I've watched men respond to other men differently by how their wife treats the man. I've watched it. I have watched it. I'm old enough now and had enough men friends in different places I've lived. I've watched how men refer and interact with other men, partly because of how they see their wife interact with that man. I watch it. We're wired that way. It's not like some ungodly thing. Now, when sin creeps in and modifies it and manipulates it and damages it, yes, it isn't just pure what designed by God. It's been messed with. And listen this morning, ladies, don't feel left out. It's not like you're not worthy of respect. The Bible talks about that, but this is Father's Day. So if you walk out of here as a woman with a chip on your shoulder about, oh, we're supposed to just offer respect. Well, you don't know my situation. You don't. And of course, you're a man. So what do you know? Breathe. It's Father's Day. Rather than just talk to fathers and tell them, hey, you got to stand up, you got to raise your game, which is all true, we do. I want to talk to those of us in this room who have a father, those of us in this room who have a husband. I want to talk to ladies in this room who have a dad and who one day will have a husband. Just take your time getting there. Men friends. I'd like every father to please stand up in this room. Every father. I would like every young man to stand up in this room, please. One day you will be a father. You are called to a high calling. And it's to lay down your life. To die to yourself. And you and I, we cannot do it on our own. We are called to something that is impossible for us to get there on our own. And if we are called to be like Christ, the only way that we can know how to do that is if we get to know Christ. To show us how to do it. To show us the way. You got a high calling. It's not about what other people think. It's about what God thinks. And the man He's calling you to be, calling me to be. So I want to pray for us as fathers and future fathers that we could be men who could walk worthy by His grace and mercy. And by His empowerment of His Spirit, that we could walk worthy of respect. Father, I thank You for these men. And some of us in this room are old enough to have a history that has been marred We've hurt people around us. Father, forgive us. May we show a transformed life to those we've hurt and to those who live with us. Help us to be fathers like you have been a father to us. Help our words to bring instruction and life, hope, healing, encouragement, power, warning, discipline, peace. Help all of us standing in this room, current fathers and fathers, one day, that we would be men of faith. We would be men of faithfulness. So forgive us, train us. Let us walk with a joy as we honor you, our perfect Father in heaven. Help my comrades, my friends. Help us as fathers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.